Welcome to church today. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because in the presence of God is joy, and there are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. You know, today is a wonderful day, because today, you know, I was thinking in the morning, if God were to allow me to have another son, I would call his name Humility. I would give him a strange name because of the things that I have learned as a father. And today is Father's Day. And I want to congratulate you, all the fathers. Please clap hands for yourselves, fathers. Gentlemen, let us encourage ourselves in the Lord. Hallelujah. Go. Clap your hands, fathers. Clap your hands for yourselves. Hallelujah. You know, it's good to be a father. Hallelujah. You know, the office of fatherhood is so much, or has been so much, under attack from the devil. Because the devil does not like fathers. Fathers direct their children, they give order, they give instruction, and fathers provide identity. The reason why there's so much identity crisis is because the fathers were compromised. Hallelujah. But we need to protect that office of fatherhood. Amen. And therefore, I will ask all the gentlemen to stand up and ask one of the ladies to pray for us. I'll ask Judith to pray for all the men, please. Hallelujah. Let us receive prayer. Let's ask Judith to pray for the fathers, that the fathers will become strong, stand in their place, and fulfill their duties as priests in the house. We are the first priests in the house. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands as we receive prayer from Judith.
One of your titles is Father. And so we look to our Heavenly Father this morning for all your examples of your kindness, of your gentleness, of your faithfulness, of your peace,
hallelujah,
of your protection, of your love unconditionally. And so thank you for these fathers that have stood in your house, in the Heavenly Father's presence this morning. And I pray that you will bless them with wisdom. I pray that you bless them with strength. I pray that you bless them with understanding and direction in these days where there is so much confusion. And reading today why there is so much confusion is because a lot of fathers have been absent. And so, Lord, this morning we repent and we are sorry, but these fathers are standing on your wall this morning. They are standing in the gap for the family. And I pray that you will anoint their heads with your love, with your direction, with your peace, with your strength. Thank you for them. Thank you for the example of my Father, my natural father. I want to bless you that these men, Lord, that have stood before you this morning, oh, and they honor you. I pray, Lord, that you will honor them, and you will lead them and you will guide them in all truth and all direction. I pray that they will arise and they will know their calling in you, that they are strong in the Lord. And because of that, they can do all that you've called them to do. They can do exploits in your precious name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm sure we have a few young men in the house. Amen. Prevention is better than cure. So I think we need to pray for the young men in the house so that the fathers in them will not be destroyed by the devil. Hallelujah. But the fathers in them will manifest in due time, and they can become fathers in the house of God and in their own families. Hallelujah. So I'll ask all the young men to stand up. We pray that you'll not be confused. Hallelujah. It is our prayer that the devil will not confuse you. It is our prayer that the devil will not lie to you and tell you that God made a mistake. You are not a mistake. Hallelujah. You are made by God to be a father in his house. Hallelujah. And you must maintain that because it is a holy calling. Praise God. So we want to pray for these young men. Please come here to the front. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. And I'll ask the fathers to come and pray for these young people who stand here. Fathers, come pray for the young people, please. All the fathers, come to the front. The fathers, come to the front. Let's lay our hands on our young people. Let's pray for them. Let's release an anointing of fatherhood. Hallelujah. An anointing of focus and direction upon their lives. That God may protect their office as fathers. Let's pray for them. Let's stretch our hands. Everybody, let's stretch our hands towards them. Let us pray for them. Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for these young men, oh God. We thank you. We commit them into your hands, Almighty Father. We thank you that you are God, and we thank you that you are God in their lives. It is your hand upon their lives that we need. It is your glory and your blessing upon these young men, oh Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray that these young men will grow to become men of honor, men of dignity, men of direction, men with revelation who know what they are doing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pick the covering of the blood of Jesus. We release the blood of Jesus upon their lives, the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
To preach the gospel to the name of the Lord. Because you call the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us clap our hands to Jesus. Thank you, young men. You can go back to your seats. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We speak the protection of the blood of Jesus upon your lives and upon your future. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As we welcome those online today, let us open our Bibles to the book of Genesis. And as we go to the book of Genesis, let's make a good confession. Let us say, the word of God is alive. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I almost heard you. Say, the word of God is alive. It is active in my life today. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth proceeds knowledge and understanding. And I receive it right now. Raise your hands to God and pray as you sit there. Say, Lord God, as your word comes, let it be written upon the tablets of my heart. Give me understanding, give me revelation. Every one of us, let's raise our voice, let's just pray for them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you for the preaching and the coming of the word of God. We pray that it will come in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and let it be written upon the tablets of our hearts so that we may be wise, so that we may be ready to save you and to obey you, Lord God. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Said Genesis chapter number. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter number 12. Welcome back from Jamaica, Sister Audrey. I'm sure you brought us some reggae beats. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter number 12. I'll read from verse number 1 to verse number 3. And then I will go to the book of Psalms chapter number 107. From there, we'll just pick one verse. And then we'll refer to other scriptures as we continue. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Some years ago, I went to one of the seven wonders of the world, which is part of Zimbabwe. It's called the Victoria Falls. When I got there, I got some lectures which I didn't know all my life. They told me, the tour guide told me that these crocodiles that you see, the reason why they cannot make noise is because they don't have a tongue. That's why crocodiles cannot make noise like lions, like hyenas, because they don't have a tongue. Hallelujah. And I don't believe we have any hyenas in the house. I mean, any crocodiles in the house. Hallelujah. Yeah. There are more people than crocodiles now. Hallelujah. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I want us to take note of that last phrase, which says, in you, say, in me.
In me.
Come on, there's no crocodile here. Say, in me.
In me.
Hallelujah. One more time, in me.
In me.
All the families of the earth.
Shall be blessed.
Praise God. Well done. Psalm 107. Let's go to verse number 30. Psalm 107 is highlighting mostly about the experiences of the people of Israel in the wilderness as they journey to the promised land. And in later verses, they talk about the merchants who go into the sea trying to make some living for themselves. And they meet with some difficulties in the seas. But then we come to verse number 30, where it says, and they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Say, my desired haven. Can I remind you one more time? There are no crocodiles in the house. Say, my desired haven. Well done. Praise the Lord. Metaphorically speaking, a haven is a place of safety. It is a refuge. Hallelujah. It is a place of security. And it is often associated with God's care and God's protection. Hallelujah. And as God's people, we find a haven in his grace, in his mercy, and in his presence. Hallelujah. And in that haven, hallelujah, it is a place where God gives us options. Say options. Now, in the presence of God, we do have options because that's the safe place to be. That's the best place we can be, a haven. Hallelujah. But each and every one of us need to have a desired haven. So when we come to Jesus, one of the things that he empowers us with is options. Jesus gives us options. And a person with options is different from a person without options. When you do not have options, your life is limited, it's restricted, it's like You are in a straight jacket. You can't maneuver, you can't move. But in the presence of God, we have options. And all what we need to do as people of God with options is we need to learn how to manage our options. That's why sometimes we come to church, sometimes we are not in church. Sometimes we are in the prayer meeting, some people are never in the prayer meeting. No, it's a sign of options that we have, and we manage those options. Hallelujah. And many times, some people opt to come to church or to the prayer meeting, but some people, it's not an option to come to the prayer meeting. It's how we manage those options. It is the devil who presents Christians with limitations and takes away their options. Each time you find yourself with no options in life, it's because it's the devil who has stolen those options and he causes them to be afraid. Then when people have no options, they live in confusion and they live in fear. But instead of fear, a child of God has the option to trust God. As children of God, we have the option to depend on his word, to trust him and his ability to do whatever we ask him to do. It doesn't matter what kind of situation or circumstances we are in, we have the option. And that option to believe and to trust God, that's the option that sinners don't have. Hallelujah. Sinners don't have the options that we have. Because in the presence of God, we do have options. Hallelujah. And God wants us to have a wealthy and victory mindset. A mindset born out of an understanding of God's purpose for our lives and for his church. Once we understand what God wants us to do, we will be in a good place. And in that good place, we will be able to exercise the options that we have. Hallelujah. You know, when John was writing to the believers in John 3, verse number 2, he says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." The condition of the soul, the condition of the inner man, will determine one's experiences with God. The deeper or the healthier your soul is, the more experience with God you will have. Hallelujah. The poorer your soul is, the less experiences one will have with God. Now, and the condition of the soul will also determine one's participation in the work that God is doing. It will determine one's participation in the programs of the house of God. Our souls must be in a good condition. Once our souls are developed in him, hallelujah, it will be easy for us to steward and to share the resources of the kingdom, because our souls can handle those things and we have options and we can manage those options well. Hallelujah. Material things are good. We need them. Hallelujah. We need them for our comfort and for our convenience. But the problem with material things is they are external. Hallelujah. They are not internal. So it is the condition of the soul that determines how rich or how wealthy we are. Because it is something which was on the inside. And the desire of God is for his people to have a wealthy mindset. That's the desire of God, that we may have a wealthy mindset. And the wealth that I'm talking about is not the outside material things. Hallelujah. It is the wealth of the soul, the inside, what happens in the inner man. Hallelujah. Our wealth must be of the inner man. Spiritually bankrupt people have no options. They are always dry. They are always depressed. They are always discouraged. They are always defeated. They have no options because their outward condition, hallelujah, is a reflection of their inward condition. Hallelujah. When they are bankrupt on the inside, it shows on the outside. Hallelujah. So that's why I said our wealth must be of the inner man. Listen to what Jesus says. Many people focus on the outside material things, but listen to what Jesus says. In Mark chapter number 8, verse number 37, he says, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul?" In other words, what does it help a man if his account is fat? He has 3 or 5 cars out, lives in a mansion. He has everything that, you know, this world can offer. But on the inside, there is nothing. That's why we see some of those people, they divorce umpteen times. They are very sad people. They die miserable deaths and all that is because they majored on the minors and minored on the majors. They wasted their time on the outside instead of majoring on the inside. They have limitations. The condition of the soul, the condition of their souls presents them with limitations. Hallelujah. A sinner, for example, has no option. Sinners have no option but to sin. When I look at sinners, they are sinning, they are drinking, they are doing all those things. I understand them. And that's why we must give them the gospel. A sinner has no options. All he knows to do is to sin. That's what he's programmed to do. Unless he receives Jesus, then he can have different options. So when we share the gospel with a sinner, we are giving them options. So the starting point for a sinner is salvation. You know, going back to what John says, he said, "My brethren, I wish that you may be prosperous on the inside." Hallelujah. Even as your soul prospers. He says, you know, he talks about wealth. Wealth is about freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from satanic influence. Freedom from the oppression of the devil. Rich on the inside with the option to trust God instead of groping in darkness. Hallelujah. If I am empty, I have no choice but to worry. But if I am rich on the inside, Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35, a good man, hallelujah, out of the good treasure of the heart, Jesus himself said, some men have a good treasure, not outside, not in their bank account, but on the inside. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, he brings forth good. He has options. Hallelujah. So, because he has options as a righteous person, when offenses do come, he has options. His option is to forgive and walk away, continue with their life. When temptation comes, they have options. Hallelujah. But when a person has no option, they will respond to every invitation to strife. They will respond to every invitation to quarrel, to disagreements. They will find themselves ready to respond to everything the devil offers them because they have no options. Hallelujah. But we have options to deal with every situation. Hallelujah. And one of the options that we have is to look at other people positively and see what God is doing in their lives and appreciate what God is doing in their lives. Hallelujah. So in the book of Genesis, where we read in chapter number 12, we see a man called by God. By the way, I'm talking about God calling you. Hallelujah. God calling you to your rightful place. Hallelujah. God is calling each and every one of us to our right place, to our desired heaven, to a place where we must be. Hallelujah. So we see in Genesis chapter number 12, God comes to this man who is among idol worshippers in Mesopotamia, and he gives him a word. You know, and he offers him an option to move on with his life, to move away from where he was. He was comfortable there, worshiping his gods there, living with his relations there. His father was there, maybe cousins and everybody, they were also there. But then God comes to him, and the Bible says, he called him and says, go to a land which I will show you. So he says to Abram, just go. There was no location given. There was no postcode given. He was not given even a sat nav. He was just told, just go. So the man had just to take out and set out by faith and go, and as he was directed by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, God had said. You see that word, had, which means God did not speak to Abraham about this issue in chapter 12. In chapter 12, he was referring to the conversation that they had before chapter 12. So in other words, Abraham and God always had conversations. And now we read about the previous conversation, but now that previous conversation is now recorded in chapter 12. Hallelujah. Not previously recorded. So God had said, what did he say to Abraham? He said to him, hallelujah, I want you to go, like I've already said. So he decided to obey. And as Abraham journeyed, he opted to obey God and to journey as he was instructed by God. And as he journeyed, he had only one thing that he had. God didn't give him many things. He just gave him one thing. He gave him the spoken word. God had said. That word said is not a written word. It is a spoken word. So Abraham was now acting, not on the written material. He was acting on the spoken word. Hallelujah. So it is a spoken word that had come that made him to take action. Hallelujah. So it was not the written word, but the spoken word. Hallelujah. In the Bible, we learn about the written word, which is the Logos. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Logos is the written word of God. Praise God. But the Rhema is the spoken word of God. And that is what Abraham was given by God. At this time, please listen to me carefully. I am saying Abraham, because he was Abraham at that time when he received the spoken word, the Rhema. Now, in the Bible, we have the Logos. Both the Logos and the Rhema are both the word of God. But the difference is, one is his written word and another is his spoken word. But in this case, Abraham was not acting on the written. He was acting on the spoken. It does not mean that the written does not work. Jesus proved to us that the written works. The devil comes to him and he says, if you be the Son of God, I want you to do 1, 2, 3. In Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 4, and he says to the devil, it is written. The devil, Jesus did not defeat the devil by the Rhema. He defeated him by the Logos, by the written word. Hallelujah. Which means if we want victory over the devil, if we want victory over demons, if we want victory over every foul spirit assigned by the devil against our lives, we must have knowledge of the written. We must have knowledge of the written word. Hallelujah. In verse number 7, Jesus repeats the same thing. He says to the devil, hey, come on, devil, it is written. Don't you understand that it is written? Hallelujah. And verse number 10, the devil is trying to, the devil is very insistent. The devil does not easily give up like Christians. Hallelujah. If there is some attribute that you can know, that you can admire about the devil, is his persistence. Hallelujah. The persistence of the devil is, you know, it was better off if Christians had that kind of persistence. Hallelujah. As children of God, we learn to be persistent. We can't be defeated by the devil when it comes to persistence. Hallelujah. In verse number 10, Jesus gives him back the word of God. He says, it for, this time he says, for it is written. That word for means because it is written. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You shall worship the Lord your God only. You shall not worship any other God. So the devil couldn't stand the word of God. The devil can't stand the written word of God. Hallelujah. So that's why we must be filled with the word of God. So that in every situation we are able to say, it is written. My needs are met in glory by Christ Jesus. It is written. By his stripes, I am healed. It is written. I am not afraid of what man can do unto me. Because he has said unto me, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But it is, you have to know what is written. Hallelujah. We don't live by the sympathies of people. It's good when empathetic people come to us and empathize with us. It's good, but it's not enough. Victory is not in empathy. It is in the written word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But now here comes Abraham. Abraham is not given the written word of God. God comes to him and he, like we said, God had said. In other words, he had given him the spoken. Hallelujah. He had given them the, he had given Abraham the spoken word. Now, the rhema is when that written word of God is ignited by the Spirit of God in your heart. And it becomes like a burning fire in you. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's easier to get a rhema from God, especially when you have a storehouse of the written. Because God cannot quicken what is not on the inside. He uses what is on the inside to quicken it. And when he quickens it, immediately you will know. You will not need a prophet to tell you. Hallelujah. You will know it from yourself because God will give it directly to you. Just like he gave it to Abraham. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When a scripture bends on the inside of you, you know this is a rhema. You know this is an action word. Hallelujah. It is the rhema that makes a way where there is no way. Hallelujah. I said it is the rhema that makes a way where there is no way. It is the rhema that creates rivers in the desert. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. It is the rhema that causes you to sit with the princes, that raises you from the dunghill of poverty and puts a crown on you. Hallelujah. When God gives you a rhema, you can't be defeated. Hallelujah. When you are holding on to what God said to you, it doesn't matter what kind of challenges or difficulties you will tell the devil, God told me. You can't argue with a person who says, God told me. Yes. You were not there. Yes. When they spoke. Yes. You don't know what they agreed. Yes. So you can't argue with a person who was told. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when they claim that they have been told, maybe they have been told. Yes. And we will know that they were told because whatever God tells you, it will come to pass. Yes. Because it is a rhema. Hallelujah. A rhema is like a guided missile. It's like a guided missile. Hallelujah. You know, some of these missiles, you know, guided missiles, when they program it and they send it, Hallelujah. You know that the missile will not return void, but it will accomplish what the soldier intended for it to accomplish. Hallelujah. Because when he sends it, when he releases it, there is no return. You can't say return to sender when they send a missile. There is nothing like return to sender. Hallelujah. It returns to God on its own after it is accomplished what he sends it to do. That's the good thing about a rhema. A rhema is a specific spoken or a revealed word from God. Something that God reveals to you by his spirit. Hallelujah. Meant to be applied in a particular situation or in a particular need or in a particular individual life. That's the rhema. Hallelujah. It's a specific message or a direction from God in a given moment to a particular person or a group of people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at examples of the rhema. Praise God. For example, in Matthew chapter number 14, the first thing we see is Herod is a birthday boy on that day. He has a birthday party. He has invited his colleagues and his friends. In that very same chapter, because of the birthday party, John the Baptist is beheaded. And then, after John is being beheaded here, but there Jesus is busy healing people. And after healing people, Jesus does not mourn the beheading of John the Baptist. Jesus feeds 5,000 men. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think he fed the men before he gave food to the women. Because the Bible says he fed 5,000 men. Doesn't mention women. Hallelujah. So after feeding 5,000 men, it's all still in, we are still in chapter 14 of Matthew. He has fed 5,000 men. He dispatches disciples. Get into the boat and go, we meet across. And he goes to pray alone. Praise God. And he's there praying alone. He finishes praying, and now he walks back to his disciples. And now he doesn't need a boat. Praise God. His faith is so good. The man is walking on water. Now, verse number 28 of Matthew. That's where we are now. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on water. Give me a rhema. I can't just come there because you are walking on water. I don't know what is making you on water, but I know what can make me walk on water. If you give me a particular word, if you give me a rhema, something that you yourself will speak. Hallelujah. And Jesus releases a rhema. He doesn't say many words. He says, all right, fine. Come. Come. And that word come was not written as it is written in our Bibles now. It was not written in the Torah. It was spoken. And Jesus and Peter walked on water. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 8. Let's look at an example. And when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Don't worry, I'm coming. But now the centurion, being a military man, he knows how commands work. Verse number 8, then the centurion said, no, Lord Jesus, I know and I understand that you're a very busy man. You don't have to come. There are some principles that I understand. Huh? I understand some principles that when you speak, I have come to you so that you may give me a rhema, so that you may release a word into my life, so that you may speak and I'll act upon that rhema. Hallelujah. And Jesus didn't have to go to the centurion's place. He just released a word. When the centurion went back, the Bible says, And when he inquired at what time the guy was healed, he says it was at the very time when Jesus released a rhema, when Jesus spoke. Hallelujah. Just give me a rhema. No, that's what people of God should be doing. When you come to church, you don't have to wait and look around and just bow your head when others are praying. It's time for you to pray and say, God, I've come to church here today not to be entertained. I've come here to church today to receive a. I want a rhema. I want a word that you direct straight to me that comes into my heart. A word that I can act upon. A word that will give me the victories that I need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Saul of Tarsus, he was filled with all the laws and commandments of the Torah. And one day he decided he's going to Damascus to persecute the church until there was an accident on the motorway to Damascus. So on the highway to Damascus, hallelujah, there was this accident that happened. There was a collision. Mr. Saul, hallelujah, discovered that he was a small car when he collided with Jesus, because Jesus told him very, very in very simple terms, it is hard for you, my man. You can't compete with me. It's too difficult for you to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyway, I'm giving you a word now. I want you to go to Ananias and you will be told what I want you to do. Now Saul is given a rhema. From there, he is told what to do. But in verse number 7, the Bible says, there are men who were, it's Acts chapter number 9, there were men who were with Saul. When Saul received that rhema, his rhema did not apply to the men who were with him. It only applied to Saul. And that's why we never read about them again. Because the word was not theirs. The word belonged to Saul. Hallelujah. We can come into a service like this and the Lord will release a word just for you. Hallelujah. Just for you. The whole service. The whole service. Just for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Jesus received that rhema. Praise God. So that is the reason why it is not safe for us to copy and paste other people's spiritual lives. You cannot copy and paste other people's churches, other people's ministries, other people's marriages. You can't. They have a rhema, and you are trying to imitate somebody's rhema, and it's not your rhema. You have to have your own. You have to have your own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They may be acting on their rhema, which does not apply to you. Hallelujah. I can't copy and paste. Hallelujah. You know what I can do? I can only act upon the logos, the written word. It's a longer process, but it's a safer process. Praise God. It works. It will work for me. Jesus proved that it works when he told the devil to go away 3 times. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's why it is very important for people of God to have time of prayer together as a church and as individuals. Because in those prayer meetings, in those prayer services, that's where God, in the middle of that anointing, that's where the Spirit of God is free to move and to release a rhema for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It may come while you are cooking in your kitchen, but you are guaranteed that you'll get a rhema when you are in the prayer meeting, in the presence of God with others. Because he says, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name. It doesn't say where you are with your pots and place, I am there. It doesn't say that. Although he may be there. I don't argue that he will be there. He may be there. But in a place where you are praying with others will be a better place. It creates an atmosphere where a rhema is released to you as an individual, to me as an individual, and to us as a group. Hallelujah. That specific word released into our lives, it becomes a rhema. So when God releases it, we know. Hallelujah. We don't have to guess. We know that it will happen. Praise God. Let me tell you a secret. I will not try to walk on water. Praise God. Because things may not go well for me. That word was not for me. It was for Peter. It's not unbelief. It's just biblical intelligence. Hallelujah. I will not walk on it. I will not sit even 10 men here and try to multiply one barn and one can of coke. They come and all the gentlemen come. Today is Father's Day. I will multiply this. I'm not going to do that unless if I am given a rhema. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No, I'm not going to touch snakes. No, snakes are not for me. Praise God. I'm not going to drink anything deadly. That's not for me. It's written, but it's not for me. For such things, I want a rhema. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, another example. This one is interesting. There was a man in Assyrian general. What was his name, by the way? This general of Assyria. He had leprosy. And Nehemiah. Hallelujah. Nehemiah. And he had a house helper or housemaid. And Naaman had leprosy. And the girl said, if it were in our church, our pastor would cast out this leprosy. And then the general was, got curious. And then he got, he decided to go and see the man of God. And when he got there, the man of God didn't even come out of the house. The man of God didn't come out of the house. And he said, send his servant. Tell him, go ahead and wash 7 times in the river. And the man was furious. The pastors of today, they don't understand. They just need our money and our offerings. I thought the man of God would come out and look in the Bible and raise his hands and call upon his Lord and put his hands on me and heal me. He had his own way of getting a miracle. But that was not God's way of getting a miracle. The way of God was giving him a rhema, which he was supposed to obey. Hallelujah. And when he obeyed it, it happened. Praise God. And again, this Elijah, when he was hiding, from this Jezebel woman, he was hiding and he was living somewhere in the bush. Ravens would go and steal food and they would bring him to the man of God and he would eat. But then one day, the brook dried. And a rhema had to come. And the rhema said, hey, my man, I have commanded a widow woman. I have given a widow woman a rhema to feed you. And that's the kind of rhema people don't normally want to entertain. But I have given a widow, I have instructed a widow woman to feed you. You go there. When the man of God got there, the woman got into unbelief mode. She got into flight mode. And she was not having any of it. We have this and we prepared this. Me and my child, and then we will die. But remember, people, the rhema word is God's word. Pregnant with miracles. Pregnant with potential and possibilities. And once I am given that kind of word in my heart or in my spirit, I will not hesitate to act upon it. Because I know his grace will abound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, quite a few times, each and every one of us here, at some point, we were given a rhema word. I was given a rhema word when we were building a small church in Zimbabwe. And because of that rhema word, we built a church and we finished it in 3 months. God touched the people who helped us with some of the things that we needed. But it was possible because it was a rhema word. Can I repeat the same feat? I don't know. And I'm not sure. Unless if he gives me another rhema. Unless if he gives me another rhema. Because without a rhema word from God, I can only trust him according to his written word. Hallelujah. Let's look at another example. Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. I'm looking at verse number 3. It says, then he got into one of the boats, this is Jesus, which was Simon Peter's boat, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he began to teach the word of God from the boat. Verse number 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, now this was at the end of the sermon, hallelujah, the service is complete. Now the man has preached, the benediction is done. He said grace, everybody's blessed. Now it's time for fellowship and we go home. And then he says to Peter, launch out into the deep and let your nets for a catch. And Peter does not realize that this is a rhema. This is not about fishing degrees and diplomas. This is about rhema, which comes from God. Hallelujah. And then he said to him, Master, you know, my experience as a pastor is if I am counseling somebody, maybe they are fighting in a marriage as a husband and wife, and I'm trying to counsel them, I tell the woman, oh, lady, you need to do this. If their response to me, their first word is, Pastor, I know immediately that we are not in agreement. Immediately, I know that we are not in agreement. And that's exactly what Simon Peter did. Verse number 5. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. And then he got some. Nevertheless, at your word. Hallelujah. And when they had done this, they caught. Because Peter decided to act upon the spoken word of the woman. You see, the problem is, the Bible tells us not to lean on our own understanding. Many times we miss the miracles of God because we argue with that still small voice that tells us to do something. God does not come to us preaching on a microphone or in a loudspeaker. God does not come to us shouting, can I go deeper? Can I go deep? God does not come to us shouting like that. And then we respond, go deeper, papa, or something like that. No, he doesn't operate like that. Still small. And many times we miss miracles. We miss opportunities because we were expecting noise. And yet God is not using noise. Hallelujah. 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 With Peter, what had changed? Nothing had changed. Only that he had received a rhema. Praise God. The fish was always there in the lake. Huh? The expertise, these guys were experienced people. It was always there. The difference was, this time, Peter was not doing it based on his experience. He was doing it based on what Jesus had said. He was basing it on the rhema. Hallelujah. The rhema word applies in every situation and location. And the rhema can come to individuals and it can come to us as a group of people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When it comes to a group of people, it becomes very important for the church to flow together once God has released a word. I'll repeat that. When God releases a rhema upon the church, it is important that the church rallies together and do what God has said. Otherwise, we will pray for things that may never happen. Why will they not happen? Because God told us what to do, but we didn't do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what happens many times is, the word is spoken. People listen, but nobody hears. And we miss the miracle. Let me repeat that. The word is preached. Everybody listens, but nobody hears. Hallelujah. And we miss. Faith comes by hearing. Faith does not come by listening. Faith, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by, not by listening. When we hear that rhema, not when we listen to the rhema, but when we hear that rhema, things begin to change in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's the type of word Abraham got when he was still in Mesopotamia. That's the kind of word. It was a rhema word that was good enough for him to obey and make a move. That's the kind of word that came to Abraham. Hallelujah. So when it came to him, it did not make any sense. It just said, go away. Leave your people and go. No roadmap. No signpost. Just go. Hallelujah. Abraham was wise enough to discern that it was not one of the gods of Mesopotamia hallucinating. He was wise enough to know that this is God speaking to me. And he obeyed. Hallelujah. It was actually a rhema word from God for him. We need that grace. Hallelujah. The rhema word of God moves us from one level to another level. It is the rhema that will move us from one glory to another glory. It's not enough to listen. It's better. Once we hear the word of God, we must hear. It's not enough to listen. We need to act upon the word of God. Hallelujah. A word from the devil will move people from fear to fear, from misery to misery, from pillar to post. But the word of God will move us from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. So Abraham and his wife, now they are holding on to a rhema. Praise God. Now the husband and wife have agreed, my friend, we have a rhema here. And they set out to go. They say goodbye to their relatives, you know, and the only thing they were holding on is the rhema. That's the kind of situation where you know that if God does not come good, I am finished. You know that very well. You know, you are in a situation where you know, God, I don't need a part of you. I need all of you here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need the three of you. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All of you here, I need you here. That's the rhema. Hallelujah. So, before he became Abraham, he was Abraham. Before he became Abraham. And the wife was Sarai, which means princess. And Abram, which means exalted father. We'll talk about that. Hallelujah. But by this time in Genesis chapter 12, his outside was matching what was going on the inside. He had the rhema on the inside. He had the wealth of the rhema on the inside. And on the outside was the manifestation of what was on the inside. There are different levels that we can go through as we walk with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a child of God, nobody must remain in the same place. We must move from place to place. And experiences with God will lift us up from one level of prayer to another level of prayer. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes, you know, in some of those places where we pray, sometimes when we declare that tonight we are going to have a prayer vigil. We are going to pray from 8 o'clock to 5 a.m. In that kind of a prayer meeting, we can't pray. We can't wait for you to pray while we are listening. And then you pray, then it's your turn, and then it's your turn. If we do that by 12 o'clock midnight, the rest of the people will be asleep. Just like Peter, John, and James did when they were praying in the garden. You know what Jesus should have done in the Garden of Eden? You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was praying. He should have taken these guys and go with them to that place where he was praying. Instead, he said, come on, remain here and pray. So they were there. So maybe Peter prayed, Father, let this cup pass our master. And then and hallelujah, amen. And then also John picked up, hallelujah, Father in heaven, like Peter prayed. No, James also said, oh, Lord God in heaven, you have already heard what Peter and John said. No wonder why they slept. No wonder why they slept. Praise God. So when hallelujah. When it's time to pray, my brother. When it's time to pray, my brother. We pray. We pray. Praise God. From 8 o'clock until 5 o'clock. Sometimes you have to struggle to stop the church. Come on, listen, guys. Listen, guys. Listen for the next prayer point. Listen for the next prayer point. That's how we pray. Hallelujah. Experiences with God will elevate you from one level of prayer to another level of prayer. To one level of faith, one level of commitment, one level of Christianity, one level of leadership, one level of hallelujah, because of experiences with God. And that is what we must desire. That must be our desired heaven. Hallelujah. So, God takes Abraham to the next level. He gives him instructions and principles, and he says, come on, let's do this. Hallelujah. Many times, we have limited God, and we don't even know how we are limiting him. Praise God. But when we begin to seek for experiences with God, things will change. Abraham has departed. Now, what is happening? God was ready to change Abraham's life from something that he saw nothing wrong with. There was nothing wrong with Abraham's life. But God was now ready to change him from something that he saw nothing wrong with into something that he never thought he would become. That's what God was doing, from one level to another level. And that level was, I will make you a father of many nations. Hallelujah. But at this time, you know what Abraham means? Abraham means exalted father. When, you know, in Mesopotamia, Abraham was not an ordinary father. He was Abraham. Exalted father, honored father, a father with substance and wealth. You know, every woman desired to be Abraham's wife, but Abraham was already married. He was an exalted and honored father. It was a good place for Abraham to be. But God said, no, there is nothing wrong with where you are. But I want to show you where you can go, what you can become. He was ready to lift him from being exalted. Brethren, we can remain exalted as we come to church. We can be exalted coming to church, exalted brother, exalted sister, exalted worship singer, and we remain and we become comfortable. We become comfortable with what we are and with what we are doing. And yet there is something more. Hallelujah. Abraham was about to be changed from something that he saw nothing wrong with to something that he never imagined. Hallelujah. And that was to become a blessing to many nations. But you know what now the challenge is? The reason why we're talking. Galatians 3:29 attaches us to this life, to the life of this man. As many as are in Christ Jesus, they are the children of Abraham. Now we must now move with the faith of Abraham. Now we must move, walk in the footsteps of this man and be elevated from where we are. We are exalted mothers. At our workplaces, we are appreciated. We are respected in our families. We are respected. We are exalted mothers like Abraham. We are exalted fathers like Abraham. But there is another level higher than where we are right now. And that other level is a place where we can become a blessing. Where we become a blessing. We no longer think about our blessings. We no longer think about us. But we're now thinking about being a blessing to other people. And now this took a rhema now. Now this was a level where the rhema was now in full force now. Hallelujah. You can't dream that. You have to use the rhema. Hallelujah. No magic. No miracle. But the rhema. Hallelujah. So the name Abraham means exalted father. Hallelujah. Above average father. Praise God. He was above average. Exalted not just another Christian, not just another man, not just another husband, not just another father, not just another young man in church, but he was exalted. But that was supposed to change. Hallelujah. It was supposed to change. And he was willing to move from that position to a higher position. Praise God. So I said, they were talking about your calling. Your calling, my brethren, your calling is to move from that level there you are right now to a higher level. To a higher level, to a place where we become a blessing to other people. And this man believed. Praise God. And when he believed, his commitment grew stronger. His faith became a benchmark for others to follow. Hallelujah. He was stronger. He was wiser. He was richer. He was focused. Still, there was a higher level for him. Hallelujah. And he desired to be a different person. And he took the option to walk with God. Indeed, that option to become a blessing, it's mine. I desire that. It is my desire, heaven. I will do that. And he moved with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, when I got saved some years ago, it was my prayer. I didn't want to be an ordinary brother in the church. I wanted to be somebody different. Because I had so many temptations to deal with. Praise God. You know, as a young person, there were so many temptations to deal with. So many problems to deal with. Poverty to deal with. Girls who were looking for boys in church to deal with. Sincere girls who were just looking for God to deal with. So many things to deal with. And I said, oh no, God, I don't want to be an average Christian. I want to be at another level. Hallelujah. And God helped me, and I got to that level. Praise God. We can rise to a place where Hebrews 11 verse 10 says, you know, a city built by God. Our lives can be built by God. Hallelujah. So the second thing that happened is Abraham was told, as I conclude, he was told, leave your country. Leave your land. Go to a territory. Leave your space. Leave your comfort zone. Christians, we can never become Christians of impact. We can never fill this church. We can never fill this church if we remain in our comfort zone. Unless we decide to get out of our comfort zone, there will be no change in our lives. Our economic lives will remain the same. Our spiritual lives will remain the same. And everything about us will remain the same. That's why God had to come to this man and says, I can't deal with you from where you are. You have to get out from where you are and go to a place where I can deal with you from that. Because the influence of where you are is a hindrance to what I want to do in your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our problem is where we are. Hallelujah. Our problem is where we are. We need to move to a place where God wants us to be. In our comfort zone, we have to leave that comfort zone. Hallelujah. Go and go to a place where, number three, he says, leave your people. Our people. Around our people, we are comfortable. But then this man was told, leave your people. Go, I want to deal with you. Hallelujah. Many times it is difficult for us to move away from the perceptions of our people, from especially those who saw us growing. When I grew up, you know, when I was born, you know, my mother's family, there were so many ladies in my mother's family. They would carry me on their back. They would feed me. They would do all nice things to me. But when I grew up and became a pastor, they continued to see the me they used to carry on their back. And now I have a wife, I have children, and my wife has now grandchildren. But they still continue to see me as the baby that they used to carry on their back. Even until now, if I go to my relatives, they will just talk to me as if they are talking to their little boy. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's why God says, get away from the influence of your people, because they will not appreciate, they will not recognize the work that I'm doing in you. Hallelujah. They will keep looking down on you. They will keep talking you down. I want you to go somewhere else. So get away from your people. So he got away from his people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he says, leave your father's house. Leave your father's house. We all received our father's identity, or whoever played the father role in our lives. Praise God. And we received the covering of our fathers. Hallelujah. And we also received their socio-economic status. Praise God. So growing up in rural areas was a challenge. If your family did not have cattle. If you did not have cattle growing up in rural areas, it became a problem. Because you were known by the wealth or by the poverty of your father. Your father's identity was automatically attached to you. Praise God. So you would not find it easy to escape from that. But when you go to the urban areas, it depended on how and how much your father earned. It put you in a different class. Hallelujah. So your father's income determined your class and your lifestyle. And that experience put us in a haven, in a class, in a socioeconomic class that was different from others. And that class gave us the lenses through which we look at the world and the resources we have in life today. That's how we were brought up. So our normal is what must be normal. Our normal then is what must be normal to us now. And that's why he says, get out of your father's house. Because what is normal in your father's house is not what is normal in my church. Praise God. So many times, the problems that I have seen in church is everyone brings their own normal to church and they expect their normal to become the normal in church. And God says to Abraham, I want to bring a new normal in your life. I want to change things. I want to change things. What you value, I want it changed. What you think is possible, I want your mindset to change. You know, I want the class and what you validate, what you believe is true, what you believe is variable, I want that to change. That's why I'm bringing you out of your father's house. I'm giving you options. Praise God. And I'm calling you, and I can't use you if you remain in the place that you are. Hallelujah. So, even right now, we are surrounded by people who see the world the way we do. We are comfortable with people who look at the world the way we do. Praise God. No, very rich people, they threaten us. Very rich people. We don't want to be among very rich people because they threaten us. We don't want to be among very poor people because they threaten us too. They threaten what we have. We want somewhere there. Praise God. And all these affect us, which we may not be aware of, that they exist in our lives. Hallelujah. So, God says to Abraham, I want you to get out of your father's house. I want to lift you up to another level. And at that level, you will not look at people from your perspective. You will look at your people through the eyes of the gospel. You will be able to talk to people not on racial grounds, not on economic grounds, not on any other grounds, but the grounds of the gospel. That's what I want you to become. And that's our calling. And once we embrace that calling, my brothers, we become blessing to the families of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we see Paul praying for the people. He says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, so that you may see things the way God sees them. Hallelujah. He prays for their sight, for their world view to change. Their socioeconomic status must now be affected and changed by the status of their new father, who is God in heaven. Hallelujah. And because God is now our father, our perspective must change. Our call and mandate is to touch people's lives with the love of Jesus Christ. It calls for us to break all barriers. Hallelujah. And move according to the calling of God upon our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. And be a blessing to the families of the world. The calling of God upon your life is not to live for yourself, not to live for myself, but to be a blessing to the families of the world. Hallelujah. That's why we need a rhema, a word that we hold on to as we build the church. Once we do that, we'll be good to go. And the Lord will bless you. It is a higher calling, and it is a safe place to be. Hallelujah. God bless you today. Praise God. As you respond to the call of God upon your life, as you respond to that higher calling of God upon your life, as God transforms you into a blessing, may the Lord put his hand upon your life. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. I just want us to say, take a few more moments. Let's raise our hands to God. Let us respond to his calling. Let us say to God, Lord, here I am. Send me, Lord. I am willing to be a blessing to the families of the earth. You can send me. I am ready to do what you want me to do. Come on, just let's raise our voice. Everybody, let's just talk to the Father. Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you the glory and honor for your calling upon our lives. We bless you. We glorify your name. We thank you, my Father God, in Jesus' name, that your call upon our lives is so that we may live a life that is higher than normal, a life that is beyond what we have been living, O God. We pray that your goodness, we pray that your anointing, we pray that your anointing will prevail upon our lives. We pray for that word, for that rhema word to come into our hearts and in our spirits. And as you release that rhema word upon our lives, I pray that you give us the grace to discern it and to receive it and to welcome it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for hearing us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Just stretch your hands. Let's pray. Just stretch your hands as I pray. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that as your people, you have put your calling upon our lives. You have put your hand upon our lives because you have plans. And your plans are always higher than our plans. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Father God, the way you blessed our father Abraham is the same way that you want to bless us. You want us to be a blessing to the families of the earth. Father, we say yes today. We say we are ready, we are available. Use us, O God. Send us, Almighty Father. The surrounding areas where we live, where we work, my Father, I pray that you will use us as instruments that bring people to salvation, that bring people to the knowledge of God. We pray for that discernment. Help us to discern that rhema word. When you send that rhema word into our personal lives, I pray that you will help us to discern it. I pray for each and every one of your people here today that you may give them the grace to hear that voice, just like Paul heard that voice on the road to Damascus, just like Solomon heard that voice when he prayed for the temple, just like Samuel heard that voice and went to Eli and said, Father, you have called me. I pray that your voice will be distinct, that we'll be able to discern that voice, that we may be able to know and say, this is God speaking to me. Because once we hold your rhema word, we know that, my Father, everything will be possible. For those we have different situations and circumstances in their lives, O God, there are some of our brethren here while we are challenged with sickness, with diseases, or with family issues. We pray that you release a rhema word into their circumstances in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we speak your word and we command peace to be still in their families, in their bodies, in their finances. We say, peace be still in the name of Jesus. We release the word of God. We release the hand of God upon you, upon the lives of your people. And we release breakthroughs upon the lives of your people in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for hearing us today. And we also thank you that the devil has nothing in us. He is defeated. We defeat him by the word of God. Your word tells us to resist him and he will flee. And therefore we resist the devil and he has no choice but to flee. Therefore we resist you in the name of Jesus. We raise the standard of the blood of Jesus Christ against you and we defeat you by the word of our testimony. And we say you are defeated in every area of our lives, in our church, in our families, in our workplaces, in our businesses, in our projects. You are defeated and we enforce your defeat in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, we command you to get out of our lives. We command you to get out of our families. We command you to get out of everything that has to do with us in Jesus' name. Father God, we give you all the glory and we give you all the honor in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father. Let's clap our hands to Jesus. Hallelujah.